Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rights Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Joyce Starr, and today is a very special day. It marks the launch of my new book, Secondhand Smoke Crimes, When Neighbors Poison You, Your Family, and Your Pets. And I'm joined today by literary agent and attorney Karen Gantz. She's my friend and colleague on author coaching, and she's going to put me in the hot seat today, asking me questions about my new book. Welcome, Karen.
I'm delighted to be here, to have a noted author like yourself, author of more than 12 books and radio talk show host, a policy expert. It's my great pleasure to be here on the other side interviewing you. This issue of secondhand smoke, Joyce, is near and dear to me. I actually was involved in the non-smoking rights movement started by John Banzhoff III, professor at George Washington University, way back in the 1960s, and he helped get no smoking sections on airplanes and public places. And you may not know this, Joyce, but my mother also had smoked and had four daughters, and I put signs around the house saying she was going to die and leave four daughters without a mother. So I finally convinced her to stop smoking. So as you can see, this is an issue that I felt passionately about since my youth. Joyce, you've exploded the myth in your book that smokers can do as they please in their own unit. Secondhand smokers endanger the health of millions of people who live in buildings where smoking is allowed in individual units. And with your book, readers and their loved ones are learning that they're no longer helpless victims. Your book describes secondhand smoke in these multi-family dwellings as a crime. Weren't you afraid to risk confrontation with big tobacco and even worse, big condo attorneys who argue just the opposite?
I don't think I was naive about it. I understood what I was up against, but having suffered from secondhand smoke, suffered in an extreme manner, as have other neighbors of mine, and my way of handling a problem of this magnitude was to write about it and to write a book. Because while there are so many websites out there with information about secondhand smoke, the people who suffer rarely visit those websites, and the smokers never visit those websites. They don't want to know about how much everyone else is suffering from their smoke. And the attorneys, my Lord, Karen, you can't imagine how much money is being made today by attorneys who are taking the opposite point of view, that you don't have rights in your own home when you live in a condo or apartment or co-op or multifamily dwelling. So I didn't see any choice. I know how to write a book. I had a story to tell.
You certainly do.
Right. So that's why I wrote the book.
Great. Well, you are a great writer. The second question I have for you is, how bad are the health consequences of secondhand smoke in these condos, apartments, and co-ops? How many people are really affected by this?
If you consider that probably, and I don't know the exact numbers, I tried to get them. It's a little hard to compile them because you're talking about apartment buildings and condos, but you could assume that over 100 million people live in one multifamily home or another.
And well, it's staggering.
It's staggering. And if there's even one smoker, chain smoker, who is polluting the corridors, well, of course, that smoke is traveling through the air conditioning or heating system in the common areas, and in many old buildings, it's traveling through the whole building in one form or another. The statistics are also staggering in that hundreds of thousands of people contract different forms of cancer every year, breast cancer, lung cancer, and asthma, heart disease. They have heart attacks because if you're a non-smoker exposed to secondhand smoke, the likelihood that you're going to be affected in one or more of the ways I've just described is egregiously high. And you can't go to a doctor and say, please tell me how I'm going to be affected a year from now if my neighbor keeps on smoking. There are no tests. There's no way to document it. The only thing you can do is stop the smoker. And of course, as my book describes and as people who've been experiencing it know, you're told you have no legal rights. You're told, I'm sorry, A smoker's home is his castle. Your castle doesn't count. The fact that it's coming through walls, through your doors every time you open the door, through the fixtures. And most of the walls in these old buildings, you know, they're like scotch tape.
That's
and
amazing.
Even newer buildings. Without doubt, we know today that secondhand smoke travels through walls. It gets stuck in the carpet. And if you walk down a hall where people have been smoking, where the smoke has come into the hall from their apartment or their unit, that smoke could be on your clothes, in your hair, on your child's hands, and if they touch the wall and touch the elevator. So you have no idea or no concept of how many times a day you're contracting or absorbing or ingesting that smoke.
The analogy, Joyce, that I can think of is that many times in society, one doesn't have a right to their own possessions. For example, there's landmark preservation. You can't do whatever you want to the exterior of your building very often. Society feels they have a superior right to yours. The moral right of the artist to prevent the integral destruction of their work and manipulation of it, it's called the droit moral. You can buy a painting and you think you own it, but you can't change it because you're distorting the artist's intention and hurting the cultural patrimony of our country. So there are other situations in life where you just can't do whatever you want to your property. And I think legally, I love your position to argue this position because I think it's analogous. You mentioned asthma. I happen to have a child who has asthma, so I know an asthma really is an inflammation or swelling of the lungs, and this uncontrolled swelling constricts the airways, and smoke significantly worsens that, and it can be deathly. And according to the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, 300 million people worldwide suffer from asthma. And there are 250,000 annual deaths attributed to this disease. And as you said, smoking worsens asthma, and it may increase chances of permanently damaging one's airwaves. So I think this is a really, really major group of people who are impacted, and they have rights in this fight against secondhand smoke, too. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, what about pets? Is it true that pets can contract cancer from secondhand smoke in the home?
Absolutely. The studies are unequivocal. Pets contract cancer from secondhand smoke. Make no doubt about it. If you're a smoker who loves your pet, stop blowing smoke in that pet's face and stop smoking in your home. How about the unborn, the fetus, the newborn baby? People can't even imagine how those they love, their pets, their children, their family, their parents are being affected.
That's a very significant comment, because on the Surgeon General's warning, they really bring that to your attention. That could really, really hurt the newborn. Now, you use the word neighbors in your title of your book, Secondhand Smoke Crimes, When Neighbors Poison You, Your Family, and Pets. What about a husband or wife, the smoker in the next room? Would the book apply to all these people? Would this be a good gift for a partner who smokes?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, one gentleman said to me that he has a daughter who has five children, so he has five grandchildren. All of them are subjected to the smoke, the secondhand smoke of the husband. And the wife has raised it with her husband on numerous occasions, threatens their marriage. He won't stop, and he doesn't want to hear about it. So the grandfather said to me, I'm going to buy your book and send it to my daughter and have her put it under his pillow. Put this book under your partner's pillow.
That's cute. That's
because
cute.
Then, perhaps, then and only then will he understand. It's not only the first book to talk about secondhand smoke and even thirdhand smoke, of course, in multifamily buildings, but it's the first to explain how angry and isolated the victim feels. Mm-hmm. Children have no voice. His children can't express that their future is being endangered. They don't have the words or the knowledge. Well, here it is, all in one little book, very easy to read, fast-paced. It also tells a story, so it's not just dry facts that people don't want to pay attention to. I have a friend who read the book in a few hours, and she couldn't wait to hear more about what happened to the characters in the book.
Fascinating. Your book does three things. It tells a story about three women fighting for their non-smoker rights. It outlines compelling health issues, and it tackles critical legal issues. What were your reasons for combining the health and legal issues in one book?
I felt that it was critical to do so. Of course, you could go on and on and on about the health issues, but at a certain point, you're going to lose people because after you've told them that their risks of being affected are so high, what are they supposed to do about it? And I wanted them to understand their legal rights, and I wanted to make the case that secondhand smoke is a crime. And until now, no one has called it that. I'm the first person to call it a crime.
I hope your concept really takes hold so we can all make a difference in the world and make some changes here. Aside from the threat of serious illness, what other traumas do non-smokers face in such situations, some of which you've already mentioned, of course?
I think the biggest trauma, Karen, is how isolated the non-smoker who's suffering from secondhand smoke feels. When you look at comments throughout the internet on this issue, the people are frustrated, they're frightened, they become not only the victims, but they're denigrated as victims. Because when they complain, then their condo boards or their other neighbors say, why are you raising so much dust over this issue? Why don't you leave the neighbor alone? In our case, the neighbor is a tenant, a renter. His owner threatened the building with a lawsuit if we kept complaining about his tenant's smoke. So you become a victim twice over. And I can't begin to tell you when you come home to your apartment, when you walk down the hall and you walk into a blaze of secondhand smoke, your body starts to shake because you're a non-smoker. So non-smokers react very violently to a blast of smoke. And you begin to react. You can't really control that reaction. It's within your body. And you have nobody to tell it to, nobody to talk to, nobody cares, nobody wants to hear it. So the victim is very isolated. And I have an experience of one person who was so upset by the smoke in her kitchen coming in through the neighbor's wall that she became very unfocused, opened the dishwasher, forgot that she'd left the top down and fell over it and broke her arm.
Oh, my God.
And couldn't go back to work. And now who was she going to tell that to? Who was going to care? No one. The only people who are going to care are the victims who join forces, hopefully with this book in hand, and put a stop to it by demanding their rights with their condo boards, their co-op boards, their apartment owners, and their partners if they don't live in a multifamily home.
Maybe some lawyer will take this on as a class action suit.
Yes, there have been class action suits about secondhand smoke in the workplace, in airplanes, etc. And I spoke to many of those attorneys. And by the way, another reason for writing the book was because I spoke to so many attorneys who refused to help because they don't want to help the individual. They're not there to help the individual. If it's a huge class action suit, which will make them a great deal of money, they were interested to talk about it. But on the one-on-one, no, because as attorneys told me, number one, by the time you're finished, you'll have lost your home. You'll spend so much money fighting this in court because you might have big tobacco coming in. You don't know. So the attorneys don't want to help the individual, and others I write about had the same experience. They start calling, and they don't get much of an answer. Well, I intend to change that. I want to make it attractive for attorneys to help individuals in their fight against secondhand smoke.
Well, I think that's brilliant because a book can impact so many people for a very tiny cost, book cost, compared to all those legal issues. If we get this message out to so many people, you can make a real difference. So, in other words, what can our listeners do so they're not held hostage by the secondhand smoke? One is to read your book, which will make a big difference, but what should they do from there? After they read the book, what should they do? What do you advise our listeners do so that they're not held hostage by secondhand smoke?
I think this book, once they've read it, is a perfect gift for the president of their condo board, attorney who serves the condo board, all the members of the board, or as I said, the co-op board, the building manager. If I had had this weapon in my hands when our struggle began, I think it would have made a difference. One thing's for sure, the moment that people discovered I had written the book, it made a big difference in this building because they knew there was a book. And if there was a book, then they were afraid of really of what was in it. And so I think that the first step is to make the book available to as many people as possible if you're in such a struggle, because then they can't ignore it. They can ignore sheets of paper. We had sent email after email. We had quoted studies. Nothing made a difference. But when there's a book, that makes a difference. Not only a book, but a website, secondhandsmokecrimes.com, which is the launch site for the book, but hopefully a gathering place for those who care and want to help.
Good. Also, your book would be a great giveaway for companies that are trying to help smokers quit and for organizations warning about the dangers of secondhand smoke, especially for children. So hopefully the asthma organization and our listeners can go help in that regard, and we could have a really strong grassroots movement to make a change in society.
That's what I'm hoping and praying, and you're absolutely right. It's very difficult as one lone individual to affect or to reach those kinds of mega organizations, which by and large don't want to be contacted, as you know. But if our listeners help, if everybody pitches in, they let groups that they're familiar with know about the book, well, then suddenly it becomes viral.
And also, these rights for the book are available for foreign companies. So if foreign publishing companies listening, we could get this book around the world, not only on the website and the internet, but the actual book, which we could have around the world, because it really impacts us all globally.
Yes, it does. It probably affects hundreds and hundreds of millions, if not more, around the world. You are representing the foreign rights. I hope that they do contact you, and you're representing all the rights, as a matter of fact. If anybody's listening in that regard, they absolutely should contact you or contact you through me or through our pages on Rights Radio. They can use the contact form or starpublications.com, starpublishing.com. We have lots of websites. Or they can go right to Secondhand Smoke Crimes, and they can go to Gantz and Starr, G-A-N-T-Z and Starr, S-T-A-R-R.com, and find us that way.
This has been terrific. Radio talk show host Faith Rinoli gave the book 5 stars on Amazon.com. That is really extraordinary. What I want to do is thank you so much for your time. As Albert Einstein said, any intelligent fool can make things bigger and more complex. It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction. Joyce, I want to thank you for helping us all move in the right direction to make a difference in the world. I hope our listeners have been enlightened to a really serious crime in society today. And I just want to thank you so, so much for your time.
Thank you, Karen. God bless. And this is Dr. Joyce Starr with Rights Radio and Karen Gantz. Thank you, Karen.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.